Welcome, everybody. This is the Metaphysical Hour, and we are getting Julia on the line. She's having a little technical difficulty, but today we have a special guest. We have Linda Rich with us, and she is one of the Level 3 practitioners, and you're in Australia. What part of Australia are you in, Linda?
Yeah, I'm in Wollongong, which is about an hour south of Sydney, New South Wales.
Wonderful. So, oh, it looks like we have Julia here. Let's get her online. And we'll get her in on the fun with us. Anyways, we're excited to share some of Linda's stories today. But before we get started, we are running live in all kinds of different spots. If you have questions or comments, just open up your wherever you're watching it live, just open it up to the comment place and put your comments in. I'll be watching that in the background. And we will be getting started here pretty soon with what got Linda started, what got her going. And let's get Julia in here for the official hello. We're getting close. We see her coming up. There she is. You are live.
Oh my goodness.
So
I've never had that.
So I was just going through having them put their comments in, and I'll be watching the comments today. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you do asking Linda some questions to get her started with her story. I did introduce Linda. I had the pleasure of getting to work personally with Linda, so I'm very excited to have you on the show today and getting to hear your stories in a little bit more detail than when I was able to get before with you. So I'm excited to just kind of sit back and listen, hear what brought you to UHHT. So I'll let Julia take over now.
Okay, so we are live. Is that what you're telling
we're
me?
Live.
We're actually
yeah.
on? Oh, my goodness. I've never done that before. Come in. So now I got to, okay. I have a whole spiel, though. What?
Oh, you can do your whole spiel.
Anyway, I got to fast forward through my spiel to get me on track here. Anyway, Linda, so excited. So glad you're here. It has been a long time since I've seen you.
A long time. Since Mount Shasta in September 2019, I think was the last time the three of us were in a room together. So it's been a while.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. And then before that, well, it was probably still 2019 I feel like I've seen you before even in a class. Was it before?
I did my level one with you in Sydney in January 2019.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, so you're kind of like the bookends of my experience. It's just
that's
awesome.
Right.
My goodness, I'm bookends. Very cool. So excited. We'll see. Then you have Juan here, I think, then.
Yes, no. Yes.
Okay.
Transformation.
I'm telling secrets on everybody. Okay. Anyway, yes.
Talk about the blonde hair. That's right. Mm-hmm.
This kind of emerged during the 2020 period. So I thought, well, I'll just run with it.
And like what you said, it's transformation.
Yes.
So very cool. So anyway, like we said, this is our QHHT level 3 special edition where we talk about our special new level 3. So excited. Congratulations, first of all. Very excited to have you on board as a level 3 and the whole shebang. I mean, it's so cool to actually, you know, to go through that. And that's what we want to hear, your story, your journey. Because it helps people to hear this. I love to hear people's stories to just see where they came from. I mean, I know that's a big part of QHHT is to listen to people's stories. but I love it on here because we all learn from each other, you know, and we relate to different people. And I love to see where all of you guys come from, you know, where your journey has been. I just love it, you know, but I learn from every single one of you. So that's where we want to start is how did you get into all this? Were you born into it, born into metaphysics and just, that's it? I'm going to do this?
Virtually.
Oh, I knew somebody at one point's going to say that. Yeah, that was me.
I had a QHHT client ask me recently, how long have you been studying to do what you do? And it got me thinking, and it's been over 48 years because
oh, wow.
I started studying metaphysics and spirituality and psychic phenomena and parapsychology back in the mid-70s because as a child, my world was a little strange. I'd always seen ghosts and spirits and interacted with them And I'm not sure when it started, but Mum seemed to think it might have been back from when I was a baby, because she used to tell the story that she could leave me alone in my crib in a completely empty room for hours, and she'd check on me and I'd be laughing and giggling with the people she couldn't see. So that's kind of it.
There we go.
So,
yeah.
So I'm the one that was going to answer that question. Yes. But I think that it gave good grounding for this work, because as a kid, when adults would say to me things like, well, you only live once, or when you die, the lights go out, or, you know, everybody who dies goes to heaven, I said, well, that doesn't explain the old guy in the brown suit sitting in the lounge room, you know. It's just, for me, I got into it to try to explain my world. And there was other things going on, like I could always tell my mum who was calling on the phone when it rang, and this is way before caller ID. It's back in the old dial telephones. I'm really showing my age today. But, and, you know, other things that happen is it's like my dad had a car that sometimes started, and I can remember as like 3 or 4 year old just putting my hand on the dash and kind of willing energy to make it start, and it always started. It's like, what is this? So a bit like your light casting that you were talking about, that sort of thing. Yeah. So that's why I started studying it. And so when I went through school and then I went to university, I studied psychology. I would have loved to have done a degree in parapsychology, but they didn't have those in Australia in the mid 80s. So when I finished that, I got a job as a counsellor, and I thought I was there to help injured workers, help them get back to work. But I soon realised I was actually there to help the insurance company get them off benefits. And that's not quite what I signed up for. So yeah. I quit that job.
Rude awakening, isn't it?
It was a bit. I'm not in the world I think I'm in.
Yeah.
So then I just went, you know, I needed to pay rent. So I went back to work to temping in admin roles in large corporates, which is what I'd done to pay my way through university. And I ended up in a marketing department, and they gave me a job as a business marketing segment manager and analyst. And so I went off and did a postgraduate diploma in marketing, as you do, and some degrees in direct marketing. And I worked in that for 6 years. And then my husband decided he was going to start his own business. And so I left there to run all of his bookkeeping and administration and invoicing. Very woo-woo, this 20-year period. So that went on for 14 years. And eventually we got to close that down, and I got to move back home here to Wollongong, because I was born here, and we left here when I was 7 because Dad got transferred out. But this has always been my home. You know how sometimes your soul calls you back to a place. So that was always the case for me. Yeah.
We're all sitting here going, mm-hmm.
So it was, I thought I left it forever. Nope.
And so when I got back here, it's really when my journey to QHHT accelerated, because, again, I just got any old admin job I could get. And the place I was working, there was a psychotherapist renting some rooms, and she worked really intuitively with her clients, and, you know, intuitive people recognize each other. And so we started to talk, and she was really interested in what I knew about metaphysics and spirituality, because she was having clients that were having issues with those sorts of things. So she found out the fact that my undergrad was psychology, and she said, why don't you go up, there's a postgraduate psychotherapy and holistic counseling course run about an hour away from where we live. It was in sort of like you go for 1 week intensives, and then 3 times a year, and the rest was online. So I figured I could do that with the admin job that I was doing. So I thought, that sounded really interesting. Anyway, I found this course. I still don't know if it's the same one she was talking about. She said I'd like it because it had a lot of transpersonal psychotherapy in it, and that's when you're working with the soul and spirit of the person. So that interested me. But this course, it was starting in 2 weeks. You'd only get in by interview, people coming from all over the world to do this course. And so I got an interview. And if you had looked at my resume, like, I've been doing pretty boring things for 20 years, I wouldn't have got in. But it was all my knowledge of metaphysics and spirituality and all of that that actually got me into the course. And when we got there, it was like a liberal arts sort of format, in that we all sat in a circle, and people came from all different backgrounds to study this course. You know, there was a fair number of, like, psychologists and social workers and you know, mental health workers, but there's also yoga teachers and a craniosacral therapist and a Montessori teacher, and people came up through Steiner education, which I think they call Waldorf education in the States. And so there was this real melting pot of experience, and what we were learning, everybody put their own perspectives in. There was even a guy that knew all about Greek mythology and astrology. And so that all came into the therapeutic process. Yeah. And what we were learning was things like evolution of consciousness and the theosophical studies of Rudolf Steiner and integral theory, which from Ken Wilber, which sort of, you know, science and metaphysics are supposed to be like that. Well, he's found a way that it goes in, it can join together. And the type of psychotherapy that we learned was developed by a guy called Arnold Mendel, who before he was a Jungian analyst, he was a physicist. So he's brought quantum physics into the therapeutic relationship. So I got to learn about quantum physics, and that was fascinating to me.
Yeah.
So all those things, as you can see, would prepare you for QHHT. But anyway, it was a very full-on course. And so in about October of that first year, Dolores came into my world, much like she does for many people. This was October 2018, as she does for many people on YouTube. Now, I know the algorithms are really good, and it would seem logical with what I was studying, she'd pop up. She hadn't popped up through the rest of the year when I was doing all the consciousness studies. So, and she began to really drive me crazy. Like, she was on every single search, no matter what I searched for.
Yeah, she's good at that.
So many of my clients, she's come to them in the same way. But you know, I'd even be watching another video. It'd stop halfway through and she'd come straight on and start talking to me. Now, YouTube doesn't work that way. There's always ads. So, you know, it's just like, and so I got to learn about her work, and it really resonated with everything I'd learned about, you know, Steiner's theosophy and what I'd experienced through life, as it does. It resonates for people because it's true. And so then I got to learn about what her work and QHHT, and I thought, oh, fabulous, a therapeutic method. I could do that with the psychotherapy. That would form a really good, you know, practice, private practice together. But I thought there's no, I'd have to go to the US for training. Like, there's no way I could get there. So I was too busy anyway in October. So I contacted the girls in the QHHT office, and I think it was Ginny, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But she came back and said, well, we've got a level one online course. And she sent me an email with the link. And I thought, that's great. I'll do that between December and January when I've got my break. Anyway, mid-January rolled around and I hadn't done anything about it. And my guides were giving this massive push, because all the way through the psychotherapy, when I first got there in that, I thought, oh no, this is way too woo-woo for me. I'm out of here. You know, this was in the first week of that psychotherapy course. But every time I thought, no, I'm leaving, a feather had come, it would be placed in my path, even when I was inside. So I figured my lot wanted me to stay there. And now I know why, because it's all linked. But yeah, and that January, Dolores was driving me absolutely crazy. My guys were giving me a push. So I thought, oh, well, I better get on with it and finish it before I have to start in February with the psychotherapy. And so I found the email, I clicked on the link, I got the online course into my shopping cart, and I could not get that thing to process. There was no reason why that thing would not process. You know, the computer nearly went. So anyway, so I thought, oh, I'm going to have to phone them in the States. And so I go onto the website to try and find a phone number, and up pops live training in Sydney in 3 days' time. And if you know the website, that's not the first page that pops up.
Right.
So, so yeah, I booked my ticket before I'd asked for leave. I was going, you know, I know a sign from the universe. And so I got there.
You know that one at least, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I have to be there. Yeah. So when I got there, I got a bit late there on the day, less Sydney traffic. But and so I walked in, and all the other people who were studying had already sat down. It was before the course. And just the wave of energy off those people that had come to study QHHT, I thought, whoa, what's this? And it was like, oh, I found my tribe. And and so we went through level one training. And on that first day, you know, I'd look at people and I think, I know you, but I've never met you before. You know, you'd had that real soul, like, yeah, there's something going on here. And on that first day, four of us really bonded together, like would not be, I don't know whether you remember this, Julie, but we would not be separated. One of those four was your friend and mine, Judy Koku, a level three practitioner in Victoria. So we were going to be together through this experience no matter what. And after the third day of training, you were trying to split us up into groups of three so we can go off and practice sessions and whatnot, and people thought we were so selfish, we would not be separated. And so we then went off and we went for our practice sessions, two different rooms in the hotel, and we're all having these past lives together. We'd all known each other in Atlantis and we'd all come back together to help with the shift. And it was amazing. That was the first time I'd had a QHHT experience. And I think on the second one, Judy was facilitating. I got to meet the librarian of the Library of Akashic Records. I'd never even heard of the Library of Akashic Records by that point. So he said to me when I left, seek knowledge and truth. And I figure that's what I've been doing ever since. So that happened, level one. And there were so many of us in level one that really wanted to be pushed to go to level two that I think we actually got you to change your training schedule and plan to come back in the July to do the level two training in Byron Bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, there was such a demand. Yeah, we were like, okay, we'll come back. Otherwise, we normally would do it once a year to be over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we ganged up on you a bit at that point.
But
there's a whole group of us and there's this massive push to get our 25 sessions done so that we could do it, you know, in 6 months' time. But at that same time, I'm in my second year of my psychotherapy training. The workload was insane. I was also having to design and run a postgraduate research study to qualify. Plus, I'm doing these 25 sessions. Plus, I'm working still 3 days a week. I don't know how I got through that first 6 months. And so when we got to Byron for the level two, we'd rented this beautiful beach house right near the beach, and the other ladies that I'd rented it with, they all took off early in the morning, went down to the beach and had these magical experiences. I was lucky to drag myself out of bed. I was that exhausted. And I can remember one morning standing in front of the mirror, putting my makeup on, and I just said to the universe, why? Why did you push me so hard to do both of these trainings in 1 year? And Dolores's voice popped into my head as clear as day. And she said to me, you came on our radar because of what you were studying, which would have been all studies in consciousness and quantum physics and all of that. So I got my answer. So did level two. Awesome. So great. Even though we had some challenges. It was a fabulous point class. So then three of us got pushed to come to Mount Shasta in the September. And I can remember walking along. Sorry?
That was amazing.
That was part of my soul there. I still hope to get back there one day to retrieve it. It was just the most amazing experience. But, you know, I'm walking along the beach and I'm having this conversation with Dolores in my head. And I'm saying, look, I can't get there, you know. My course has cost me a fortune. I've done all this training. I missed my husband's 65th birthday, you know, at the level two. Our anniversary is when we're supposed to be. Like, I can't go. But if you want me to go, you have to get me to win the lottery. This was my negotiation with Dolores.
Okay.
And she says to me in that voice of hers, well, you have to buy a ticket. Okay, that must mean I need to buy a lottery ticket. So I'm up at the shops. A couple of days later, I'm walking through this busy shops and right in my path is this lottery ticket. I thought, oh, gift from the universe from Dolores. How awesome. So I picked it up, wasn't registered, didn't know what to do. Nobody else seemed to be noticing me. Like I was in this complete.
You're just on the floor? You mean it was just a.
Just on the floor. This massive ticket. I thought,
okay.
And so, of course, it didn't win. And I'm thinking, what was the message out of that? Anyway,
to go get one, it got your juices flowing.
Probably. But I'm then talking to one of the girls on the phone, again, sitting in the car park of the supermarket, and she says, look, you know, all the spaces are booking out really fast in Mount Shasta. We really need to grab one. And then just, you know, worry about how we're going to get there. We can always cancel. So, okay. So I'm sitting there in the car park and I'm on the website and I've made my booking and I said to her, okay, well, I've bought a ticket. That's what Dolores meant. Because once I'd committed, all these things transpired. I got given the money to go and you know, permission and all these, like, people who would not normally have done whatever they did, the universe just provided. And so there we were on a plane to the US for 3 days to go.
A wonderful point, though. See, you have to commit and then the universe can conspire to make it happen.
Which is exactly what you said about building the practice way back in the day. And,
yes.
And it's like, once you commit, all the high consciousness, what Dolores called the subconscious, they're all connected. So they then conspire to bring the thing. And I thought, I'm postgraduate qualified in marketing. I need a marketing plan. I need a business plan. But whenever my conscious mind got involved, it crashed and burned. So I thought, okay, well, I just put up to the universe, you guys got me into this. Send me who I need to help.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. And I get put down. And I always thought, no, that can't happen. And it does. It happens.
It does. Yes.
So that was that part. And so then, of course, we all kind of worried why we got so pushed to do all of this QHHT training in 2019. We could feel there was something big coming in 2020, but we didn't know what it was. We knew we had to be prepared. And as it turned out, that was the last lot of live training because we know what happened in the universe at that point. Mm-hmm. And so the practices here in Australia got shut down because QHHT needs to be done in person. And so I had a bit of time on my hands because I'd also got this lovely little redundancy from the universe because, again, I'd committed, I'm ready to go full time. And all of a sudden, this redundancy materializes. So I thought, well.
You are so powerful.
Yeah, but I didn't know it. That's the point. You look back on these things and go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I see it now.
I get it. I see what you did there.
So anyway, I sat here and I thought, well, I started to really study Dolores and all of her back videos and look at her. And I thought, oh, well, she started out as a clinical hypnotherapist. I've got all this time. I've got all this money. I'm going to do a diploma in clinical hypnotherapy just to find out why her method works so well.
Mm-hmm.
And you said at one point, Julia, if you do that, it can throw you off. And you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
But it enabled me through that. That was a bit like the decoding of the matrix. When I looked at her method, like you can see all the studies she's done, and you can see it's an absolute work of genius. But the real genius in it is that it's done in a way that's so simple that provided anybody who doesn't have all of that knowledge just follows her method and instruction precisely, they can get the same results. Don't add anything in. Don't take anything out.
Yes.
The way it is, there is a reason for every word, every intonation. It was like the whole decoded matrix opened for me, and I thought,
oh my gosh, thank you for saying that so beautifully. Oh my, that is fantastic. But that, yes, that's exactly it.
It's exactly, and then just keep it pure and practice, and you can get the same results.
Yeah,
and so, so once I did, as I said. Threw me off a little bit, picked up a few bad habits, but thankfully then, like I decided at that point, I was going for level 3 when it became available. And this was, I finished that course in what, March 2022. But of course I'd done level 2 in 2019. So one of the prerequisites to go for level 3 is that you have to redo level 2 within 2 years.
Yeah, if you haven't taken level 2 within 2 years of level 3, you have to redo it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're teaching. And there's a reason for that. You know, people, oh, they grumble and everything, but we would actually be personally teaching level 2 to everybody that comes in if they've gone longer. And that's what we have been doing. And we're like, uh-uh, just repeat that course. You'll be ready to go and you'll get through faster. So
yeah. Well, you know, I went through that. Oh, well, I've done it live. That must be the best thing.
Yeah, I did it.
But then when I went in and actually did the online, oh my gosh, it's anyone who's done live training who hasn't done the level 2 online, I really recommend it because it's broken down into all of those little segments. You can go back and relook at whatever it's, you know, it's technically perfect. And I think, don't you have access to it for ever?
Lifetime. Yeah, you unlimited.
And so I've just scheduled in through the years just to have like a continuing professional development and go back through level 2 again just to make sure, you know, no bad habits. But
absolutely.
Brilliant course. Absolutely thought it was phenomenal. So highly recommend that if you haven't done it. And so then when I decided back in March that I was going to go for level 3, they said to me, all right, well, you'll be doing that in November. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, that's a long time away. But then as it transpired,
didn't even know yet. Yeah, we didn't even know you were doing that in November.
I got through the grapevine that one might be coming up in September, and so I sat up all night, you know, every 5 minutes refreshing because it's the nighttime here when it comes. And And so I think, you know, seagull on a hot chip, I was in. I think I got the first one on those. There was only three places, and lo and behold, it was with Tracy and in November. So, yeah, so in that intervening period, however, on the 16th of October, I horrifically broke my ankle.
Yes, you did.
And Julie, at one point we were talking on the metaphysical hour, and you said there was one thing that I hadn't gotten before I went to level three. And as it turns out, what it was that I knew from witnessing what was happening with my clients, I knew the healing ability of QHHT, but I had to have a personal lived experience. That's what my higher consciousness said. So
you needed that one,
like I knew it, but yes. I had to know it.
You had to know it, yes, through personal experience, yes.
And so when I say my journey to level three was a journey, it was. They didn't give me any free passes.
But would you want any? Would you want any free passes?
No. It was a phenomenal, I mean, really? It was a phenomenal experience. Because they took me, like, when it happened, I mean, it was catastrophic. I'd rolled my foot back underneath my leg. So not only had I damaged all of the tendons, they pulled the bottoms of the bones off, so I had two fractures. So it was a good job. And so I had the x-ray of that.
Yeah.
And then they said they wanted to put me straight in a hospital. And I'm thinking, no, you don't. You don't have to do that. I don't have to go to hospital. I'm not going to hospital. And so eventually got them to concede, well, you need the swelling to go down anyway for us to do anything. So go away, get the swelling to go down, have your MRI in a few weeks, and we'll come back and we'll talk about the surgery you're going to have. Okay. Bought myself some time. So I phoned one of my friends that I studied with for level one, who's a brilliant practitioner, Beatrice.
It's probably not. Oh, yes, we know Beatrice. She's in Hawaii.
Yes, she was. And so she came down, he did a session for me, and they took me up into the healing temple. And I'd kind of forgotten about the healing temple. It had been a few years since I'd read Between Death and Life. And there's these three hilarious scholars that were there. One guy was a bone guy, the other guy was an infectious diseases guy, and there was one guy that was really specialized in mental illness. And so they're all there, the bone guy's working out, the guys are, you know, this is really interesting. We don't normally get to work on humans because they don't know the temple's there. And so I said, well, are you normally in this form? Because they were human. I think they said they were eternal, but they had a life on Earth just to see what it was like.
Okay.
And I said, oh, we don't normally get to work on humans, so this is really different. And I said, so they were taking a while. So Beatrice asked, well, what's the most difficult sort of species or race have you ever worked on? And they said the mantis beings, because they always want to get involved.
I believe it.
Because they're healers. It's like working on a doctor. But anyway, yeah. So that was an experience. Yep. But only so, you know, going through the session, getting the waves of healing up and down the leg, and every time I listened to the recording, same wave, sometimes slightly different positions that heal something. So it only took me another three or four times to listen to the recording, and then I had my MRI. And then I went to see the surgeon, and the surgeon's saying, like, oh, do you see this little dark bit on the MRI? You'll experience this, that, or the other. And I said, oh, that's funny. I get that in the other foot. And he said, oh, yes, and you'll have this, that, and the other. And I said, yeah, that's in the other foot too. When I questioned him, what he's picking up was old wear and tear. There was no damage left from the break at all. MRIs anymore. But anyway, so that was my experience of that. So now I have that. Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, you know, people would always question mom, when they'd see her do the sessions in the class, and they'd say, this is why you get the results you get, because you believe this, you know it. She goes, well, of course I know it. I've seen, look what I've done this. It's happened over and over again. I've seen it. And that's what you said. When you experience it, there's no questioning. There's no question at all. You believe it. You know it to be fact. And there's nobody's going to shake that from you.
And so it's funny, people say to me, like, they really admire my belief in what I do. It's not a belief, it's lived experience.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
So that's my journey to level three story. So
fantastic.
Got level three it's been brilliant. I've met the most amazing, I love my clients. I've met the most amazing people. You never know someone's story, do you?
No, you really don't. You think you know them, but that's what's so beautiful about it. That's when you really get to know, because you get to everything. you know, and that's why we say, you know, if it's somebody you even know, pretend you don't know if that's what will get you there, because you want, you learn a whole new side of them. You get a whole new friend or a whole new person that you knew nothing about.
And even the people you watch going down the street now, it's like, oh, I wonder what your story is.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody has a story.
Yeah.
Everybody. And don't they all feel familiar to you too when they walk in? And it's like, you know them on some level, and or maybe your souls have been intertwining before sessions started when they signed up or whatever, but they seem familiar to me when they come in. And I kind of forget that that's not a family member or a loved one or a friend. It's like, oh yeah, I'm just meeting you the first time. And you don't know that you need to go sit over there and let me give you some instructions. Yeah.
The amount of times I've seen the higher consciousness move the chess pieces to form connections to get people to come and see me.
Yes.
Yeah. I think, I mean, they all know, we train the same way. We've got the same method, but we've all had different life experiences. And so that's why I say to anyone who's looking for a practitioner, look on the QHHT official practitioner listing and go with the one that you resonate with. Your higher consciousness will guide you to the right person.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a level, not necessarily the closest person, but go with the one you resonate with. And I've had where, you know, they've moved these chess pieces and then they've come in and they're telling me about a particular, you know, really specific industry they worked in that hardly anybody else worked, but I've worked in that industry, you know. So I knew the characters and I knew the how, you know, mentors in the industry would be, or there's knowledge that I've learned in my psychotherapy that, I was talking to a QHH, they moved the chess pieces to bring this girl to me that was doing her PhD. And when she's under, the high conscious starts talking to me about an obscure piece of research I did in my psychotherapy that they wanted her to know about. She didn't know about it. But they said the information they gave her in that session would allow them to bring in the higher vibrational souls. So you don't get in the way of that.
No, you don't get in the way. And that's a huge point. If a message needs to get through, let it be delivered. Don't stand in front of it. Don't get in the way, because it's a bigger reason for it. Let it happen.
Yep. Yeah, which is part of the plan. So yep. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. So cool. So your level 3 class, and then we'll get on to some of your sessions and things like that. So how did that go for you? Was Tracy a tyrant and really horrible? And
kind of was.
She was tough on me. It wasn't easy. It was, whoa, it was a journey. But I a lot of the process is not only becoming technically perfect, mm-hmm. but really working out your own personal blocks that you've got to doing what you're doing. And that was the real, I think that was the harder bit for me, because, you know, technical's fine for this, but it's getting rid of that sort of personal blocks that you have to do. So it took me a little while. Took me a couple of months.
You guys, I mean, I didn't know better. Tracy, did you give her a script before coming on? Because you're saying exactly all the things. I mean, what we say is level 2 is about honing your skills. Level 3 is about honing you.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't. Thank you. I mean, I'm just like, did you get a script or something? You're saying everything beautifully. But this is what happens. And this is what we've seen over and over again. That's why we say these things. Because as we keep doing it, it's like, oh my gosh, this is what's happening here. In this course, we're doing this. In this course, we're doing this. Oh, wow. This is really cool.
Yeah. And I have, like, the classes that I've got to teach so far, you guys have all been so amazing. And I just have to say, if anyone in the future does get a class with me, and Linda, you'll probably vouch for this, when I email something, I'm so, I just want to get to the point. Like I cut out all the sweet talk.
Yeah, I do that too.
To the point. And then I send it, and then I think, gosh, as I reread, I think, oh, I could have said that a little different. So then I'm trying to reach out going, I mean that in a really nice way. But sometimes, you know, there's times where things that I'm saying, I'm just getting right, like I'm in my mind thinking, okay, that needs to be fixed and this needs to be.
Yeah, your bullet points. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. And then I just type them out that way, and then I send it, and then they're getting it like, wow, she is just like nailing me to the wall. And I'm like, no, I'm learning to use more words.
Well, I like the bullet point, you know, I'm not into the fluff and nonsense. Tell me what I need to do.
Yeah. So, and then at some point, usually I'll get together with you guys one-on-one at some point before everything, you know, solidifies into your level three. There's usually another point of contact. So that's always nice too, is get a little one-on-one with you guys and really talk about you personally and get those, just those little fine points. But it's like you said, Julia, we are, you know, you've already got the script.
Yeah. But the technique.
Yeah. Now let's see. And it's not even like I'm going to give Linda the same advice that I'm going to give the other classmates, because this is how Linda does it. And this is how it sounds great when Linda does it.
It'll be very personalized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it took me a little bit with Julia doing that with me to figure out, oh, I get what we're doing here. And now that I understand it in that deeper level, it makes it even more special to teach it, because it's like, I'm listening to how that's going to sound good when you say it, not when I say it. And finding that point it's kind of gratifying for everyone, I think, when you get it, when it's like, there it is. That's it right there. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, honor. It was such an honor to get to be your teacher. And Linda's highly, highly intelligent human being. So she had some really good questions, and she got to challenge me a little bit as well with these really sharp questions. And I'm like, oh, that's a great question. I don't want to respond. And I think, Julia, how should I get off? So,
I'm a detail girl. Nothing's going to slip past me. Sorry.
No. And that's the way it should be. You know, we all keep each other on track with this stuff. And that's absolutely what it's about. So no worries. Yeah. It can feel challenging at times. And that's a good thing, because it means we're growing. So right. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
So stories, are you?
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have some session stories you'd like to share, some healing or anything?
My problem was selecting a few, because they're level three, they're just going, poof. So.
Okay, say that again. Repeat what you just said.
Since level three, the sessions have gone like this. I mean, it's convoluted universe type stuff. But one thing, the other thing is, you know, from my background in counselling and whatnot, I've kind of backed away from a lot of that, because what I've noticed now is just how profound QHHT is for a person. And a lot of the other, you know, psychologists and counseling, things like that, they delve with things that have happened in this incarnation. And often the original event which has caused this is not in this lifetime.
Exactly.
So like I had a client recently who came. He was a young father. He had some stomach issues, you know, upper sort of abdomen issues. And he'd been through every sort of doctor's scan and whatever, and they couldn't find out what it was. But he had two young kids, and he's had another one that would shortly be on the way. And so he just wanted to know what they had past lives together before, and whether or not, you know, how he could support them. Anyway, he was shown a past life. It was back in medieval times. He was living in like a stone hut with straw roof and dirt floor. So I always ask about the architecture, because it gives you an idea of the time period. and he was living there. He had this beautiful young wife, and they just had their first baby. And it was like a subsistence agriculture. They had their cow and, you know, things they needed to survive, but it wasn't more than that. Anyway, one day all these soldiers rode over the hill and handed him a scroll. And he opened up the scroll, and he said, oh, there were symbols on it. And, of course, back in the day, not many people could read. So any time through this experience when he got something that had writing on it, he always said, oh, there's symbols on it. But the soldier said, you've got to come with me. So it was basically conscription. So he went off next scene. He's in full armour in front of the king with some other knights. And whenever you get armor or military uniforms, I try to get as much detail about them as possible, because there's not many records back in the day about people or places. There's great records on military uniforms and armor, and particularly the helmets on armor. So I try to get as much detail as possible so the client can go back and research the time period that they're in. So he's standing there in front of the king, and all, you know, he couldn't really hear what was going on, but he could figure out the gist of it was that they were about to go off to war, and he wasn't really happy about that. But all the other, you know, knights were like, yay, let's go to war. And so eventually he's out there sort of leading off to go to war. He's towards the front of this really long caravan of soldiers and supplies and catapults and all these sorts of things. And they get to the battlefield and they come out at the edge of this field, and the opposing force was the same. They're on the other side, you know, the banners. I tried to get as much information of the banners and what the insignia was on the platform. Anyway, they have this clashing battle and lots of people get killed, and he gets this injury on his side, which wasn't related to what was happening for him. And after the battle, all the other soldiers are sort of sitting around the fire and they're all celebrating for winning the war, and he didn't see it as winning because it was just so horrific for him. But one of those soldiers that was in there was this really large guy with a beard, and they ended up becoming friends. And so moved to another day, they're back sort of near the castle, walking through the market, and somebody comes up and gives him a letter. And on the letter, again, symbols, but maybe the guy next to him could read, that his baby had died. So he rushes back to where he lived, and there was like a little grave there, and his wife was gone, and he didn't know where it was. So another day, he's in another battle, and he kind of lost all of his zest for life at that point, because he carried this guilt of the fact that if he was home, maybe that wouldn't have happened.
Right.
So they're in another battle, and he's like, I can't do this anymore, and he takes off, so deserts. And he comes into the last day of his life, and he's in a cell that obviously captured him for desertion, and there's a guard outside the door, and his mate with the beard walks in and actually stabs him right in the middle of the chest where he was having these digestive problems. And so when we got on to talk to the SC, he says that's why they haven't been able to feel it. It's the residue memory of that. And the message for him was, don't do it again. And that was relating to he knows that soul in this life, and not to desert him again in this life. It wasn't even really a close person to him, so he was quite surprised. But once we got that, and also that the SC also said he'd been carrying this guilt about losing the baby, and that's why he always had that thing with this in this life, that he was worried about losing his wife and children and caring for them.
Yeah.
And so the SC said, look, it's not your fault. You've been carrying this through lifetimes. It was never your fault. It wouldn't have made any difference if you had been there. It was a disease. The child would have caught it anyway. So, but as it turns out, the wife he's with now is the wife he was with then. They've reincarnated together.
They get to finish. Good.
And the baby that's coming now is the baby that passed to complete sort of being together. So that was a lovely story in the end. But this is why I'm saying normal therapy. And there was also a discussion where he was not good at control, like authoritarian control, doing things that authoritarian people, and you can understand that because the king always used to send him off to war. So
sure.
There's a whole thing in it.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff comes from that line.
Yeah, so that's what wouldn't have been his most recent, but with QHHT, you get the life that's impacting your life now.
Yes. That's when it's most appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, how long have I got time for a second story?
You do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Knock one out. Well,
okay. Well, I had another one that was more sort of related to the shift that's going on now.
Oh, okay.
All right. I had a nice man come in. He was having some marital problems because there was something going on in the family, and it was beginning to impact him and his wife. And they had a lot of business stresses because they had a business during what happened in 2020, which it got impacted. But then he really got driven to really stretch themselves financially to take on this new type of healing technology. They were going to set up a second part of their sort of therapy business. And he was a bit stressed about that and whether it would be success and all that. Anyway, he comes into a past life where he's actually like a Lyran prince, you know, the Lyran race that have the feline heads and the human bodies.
Yeah.
And he's getting married to this beautiful white Lyran princess, beautiful white female, and they were brought together by a galactic council. And the Galactic Council had orchestrated them coming together because this white feline was a really high vibrational being. And these two, they're on this balcony and they're overlooking sort of the subjects that they benevolently rule over. And they're very highly advanced beings. They all kind of look the same. And in this, the planet they're on generated an awful lot of energy from within the planet. And on the planet, they had these obelisks that would shoot up energy up into like this force field over the planet that held the energy in, because the beings, those highly intelligent beings that I work for, actually thrived off the energy of the planet. In their dwellings, they had these crystals that went into the ground, and they'd go into there and they'd kind of recharge from the crystals. And the lion, Lyran, was responsible for monitoring a sector of the universal multiverse for the Galactic Council. And he was watching, he was responsible for the planets that were going through ascension. And so they told, you know, the council would tell him when there was a planet that was ready for a next upgrade. What would happen, he would then send in a group of these sort of charged up beings. They'd go to the planet and the first thing they would do would be activate all the crystal networks on the planet. They go in and find the big crystals in all of the mountains and stuff, and you know, they'd screen themselves to look like the normal people so they didn't freak them out, but they'd go and they'd find these crystals and activate them, and then they'd leave and go back and recharge through these crystals. And then the next phase, once the planet sort of has risen up through that process, is for them to send in technology, which then helps them elevate even further. Okay. And as we know in a lot of our work, Tracy, you're probably getting this, there's been a lot of work on the crystal grids on Earth for the ascension.
Yeah.
Lots of work. I've had lots of clients doing all sorts of energy work with the crystals. And now it's now our next phase to have the technology part. And this thing that this healing technology that this client had been sort of drawn to stretch out for is part of that. And they're all coming online now. And it's a global network. So you can see how we're about to experience probably another great shift forward from that. So, yeah. But the SC said, you know, no matter all the squabbles that you're having in your, you know, sort of three-dimensional type, you know, things that are going on, you guys have got a really important mission. And they told them how to restructure the business and how to give themselves time, because they really need to focus on that. And they said, take your recording, go back and show it to your wife, and you know, get on. And I heard from them a few days later, and like, they're on mission, so they know the importance of what they're doing. So yeah, that's really exciting that we're at, I think we're going to see another big jump.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh
yeah.
Very cool.
And so many people are just being activated into what they need to do in like 5D type caring for others type roles. It's been really it's been amazing to be part of that process.
Absolutely. Linda, how can people find you? They want to see you, communicate with you, anything. How can they find you?
Well, they can go onto the QHHT official website under the Find the Practitioner, search for Australia, and then the level threes will come up at the top. And so just click Linda Rich and all my contact details are there. Or they could go onto my website, which is enrichedlifetherapies.com. They can find me there.
I love that.
Fantastic. That is so wonderful. Oh my gosh, this has been fantastic. Real quick, Tracy, how can they find you? And then I'm going to have you give a parting message, Linda. They want me to have you say something.
Well, you're going to find me the same way, qhhtofficial.com. Go to Find a Practitioner. I'm in Oregon in the States, and I'm just outside of Portland. So that would be an area to look for if you want to be in the session with me. And TracyMahan.com if you want to see what else is going on, YouTube videos that we put out, the different things I posted all there. So that's a great way to find me. Oh, parting message.
Yeah.
Parting message. Putting me on the spot.
Well, that's why I gave you a little bit of notice. I usually don't, but they were like,
and I was trying to talk
to you. He has a message. Ask her for a message.
Well, I think the main message is that if you want to do something that's really fulfilling, if you want to fulfill your purpose or find out what your purpose is, go have a QHHT session. I mean, our part of the jigsaw puzzle, we know our piece, and it's our part to help you find your piece. And when you do that, all the resources of the universe sort of come to help you. So, yeah.
Absolutely. See, you did
beautiful.
Good. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Julia. Before we get cut off here, tell everybody what's coming up and what to look forward to with QHHT.
Yes. Ibiza, Spain, we have a retreat, reunion, whatever you want to call it, in October 4th to 9th. We still have some seats available, so please come on and join us. And then for Linda's part of the world, I'll say we're kind of starting to put little crumbs out there. We're going to be in Thailand in January, the third week in January. So that'll be announced. We'll have it on the site very, very soon. So if that's in your neck of the woods, come on. You know, anyway, all of these are fantastic. This is where all like-minded, you know, we all get together and we have a blast. She was talking about Mount Shasta. It was classes, but then it was also a retreat like this. And that's what she came to. It's amazing. When we all get together, oh my gosh, energy is off the charts.
Things happen. Like
things happen.
It gets charted somehow, human resonance or whatever. It's always spiking.
Yes.
Cool. So hope to see you guys all there.
Yes. Oh, it'll be so wonderful. Thank you so much, Linda. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's been a joy.
I love you. Love you all.
Bye, everybody.